night a dream that the world had turned around. All our hopes had come to be, and the people gathered around. They offer all they can bring, and nobody went with that. Other than a song sing, the revolution starts now.
Good afternoon, Richmond. Welcome to Indie Media Live, one of the most progressive half hours on the radio because we have no corporate sponsorship and no corporate control. I hope you'll stay tuned to hear what a difference that makes in bringing you the news. I'm your host, Rebecca Ferris, and I'm here every Tuesday introducing you to people in our community who are passionately involved in the issues and causes that directly affect you and your family. We have a great show for you today. I'm joined live in the studio by Courtney Jones, the manager of grassroots organizing for Planned Parenthood of Virginia, and Chelsea Harnish is here from the Chesapeake Climate Action Network, and we're still dealing with the General Assembly, folks. So we're going to jump right into that because Courtney has to leave in just a few minutes. But I want to remind you first that you can always stream this or any of the other great programming on WRIR live 24/7 at WRIR.org. Also, we hope that you'll join our Indie Media Live conversation at our blog, indiemedialive.blogspot.com. This show will be archived there shortly after we finish today at 1. And also, WRIR will stream this show live tomorrow at 2:30 on our web line, again, WRIR.org. So you can just listen to us over and over and over and over. And we really hope that we get to hear from you. I want to remind everybody that it is a myth that animals can stay out in all types of weather and not suffer. If you're cold, they're cold. If you want to go inside and get warm, they want to go inside and get warm. Just make a place for your dogs and cats, even in the basement or the garage, if you can't take them inside. But on these frigid nights, it's so important to think about their care and comfort because they depend on us. And so now, without further ado, let's jump in and talk with Courtney Jones, the manager of grassroots organizing for Planned Parenthood. Courtney, I thank you for coming back again, and I know that you're so busy, but what is going on in the General Assembly and what's going on around Planned Parenthood generally is just something that I really wanted to address today. The last time we spoke, there were a lot of extreme pieces of legislation moving through the General Assembly. Can you give us an update?
Sure. So we'll start with the silver lining. We have a proactive bill, Senate Bill 967, which requires medically accurate family life education to be taught in Virginia's school systems, that has passed the Senate. It has moved on now to the House Education Committee. And what this bill does is essentially require, it changes one word in the code from may to shall, requires school districts to teach family life education to kids going through the public school system, and that the information that they receive be medically accurate, age-appropriate, and peer-reviewed. So this is a great piece of legislation championed by Senator Northam, who's a pediatrician and a huge champion for women's health care. So we are thrilled that it passed the House. We're looking forward to seeing what happens in, or passed the Senate, and looking forward to see what happens in the House.
For our listeners, what is included in family planning education
or family life education?
Family life education. Thank
so
you.
It's pregnancy prevention, disease prevention, substance abuse education, self-esteem education, all of these kind of life education pieces that we need to make us into healthy, responsible adults.
Is there a number for this legislation in the House?
Well, it's Senate Bill 967.
So in the House, it's still called Senate Bill 967?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, good job.
And then we still have four nasty pieces of legislation left and one really bad budget amendment. So this Thursday, we'll be watching to see what happens in the Senate with House Bill 1440, which would grant fetuses full constitutional rights and make some forms of birth control illegal. It essentially redefines when life begins. So if you use a NuvaRing, if you have an IUD, that makes your birth control illegal, essentially, if this bill passes. It's Delegate Marshall's bill. We have an egregious abortion ban that will be included in the state health insurance exchange that basically says a woman who's receiving health insurance through the health insurance exchange cannot terminate a pregnancy, even in cases of rape, incest, or to save her own life. It is far more egregious than even the Hyde Amendment on the federal level. And currently, insurance companies cover abortion in these cases. About 87% of insurance companies currently cover this medical legal procedure. So this is a step back for women in Virginia. And we haven't even established our insurance exchange yet, so it's a little preemptive as well.
Just a quick explanation for our listeners about the provisions, the main provision of the Hyde Amendment.
It basically says that no federal money can go to the provision of abortion except in the cases of rape, incest, and the life of the mother.
Okay.
And that's House Bill 2147, patroned by Delegate Klein. We also have House Bill 1419, Kathy Byron's HPV vaccine repeal. And so in 2007, the House passed, or the General Assembly, I'm sorry, passed this legislation that mandates a girl entering the sixth grade be given the HPV vaccine. Now, I say mandate, but there's a parental opt-out for any reason. And the reason that it is mandated is to ensure that low-income women have access to this pretty costly vaccine. It's $360. So they're trying to repeal that vaccine. It's passed the House and is now in the Senate. And then finally, we have House Bill 1428, TRAP, Targeted Regulations for Abortion Providers. And we see this every year. It's a architectural zoning and staffing piece of legislation that's meant to kind of regulate abortion clinics out of business, to make us shut our doors, because the revisions that we would have to do structurally would be so costly that we wouldn't be able to survive.
And the revisions don't have anything to do with the training and education of the medical staffs or the cleanliness and hygiene of the procedures?
Absolutely not. In fact, first trimester abortion is one of the safest medical procedures that you can have. And, you know, other doctors' offices that provide outpatient surgeries like colonoscopies, like breast augmentations, dental surgery are not regulated in the same way. So they're attempting to just solely target on health centers that provide abortion. And then we have a budget amendment to defund Planned Parenthood to strip us of all state funding, which I think it's important to note that we do not receive state funding. We receive $35,000 a year in Medicaid reimbursements for services rendered. And that's passed the House and will be worked out in conference committee.
So we have all of this happening this week?
Yes, this Thursday.
If our listeners would like to have their opinions registered, if they'd like to let their legislators know how they feel, they can get in touch before Thursday.
Absolutely, with members of the Senate Education and Health Committee.
And if you'd like to let your opinion be heard on this issue, you can Google Virginia General Assembly and you'll come up to the page that will let you find out who your legislator is and what phone number to use to contact them.
Absolutely.
Courtney, there's been a lot of attention lately on some undercover videos taped at Planned Parenthood health centers across the country. Could you give our listeners some context for this?
Absolutely. So there is this political anti-choice extremist group called Live Action, run by a young woman by the name of Lila Rose, who is a self-described anti-choice extremist that has been running sting operations in Planned Parenthood health centers across the country since 2006. And most recently, some colleagues of hers have been going into health centers posing as patients, a pimp and a prostitute. And basically kind of framing the story that Planned Parenthood is aiding and abetting the sexual exploitation of minors, of children. But what we know about these videos is that they are heavily edited, heavily doctored. And in Virginia, when our videos were released last week, or 2 weeks ago now, I guess, we follow the law 100%. We stand behind that 100%. Our employee followed our protocol when describing the informed consent laws of Virginia. She gave these patients the same quality care, confidential information that every other patient receives when they walk through our door. Now, when the couple mentioned that they were involved in potentially illegal activity, our employee went to her supervisor. We filed charges with local authorities and with the FBI. And so, you know, the Attorney General, Eric Holder, has gotten involved. Now the FBI is involved because this organization has said its aim is to take down Planned Parenthood and to make our health centers feel unsafe. So we are continuing to provide the same quality health care that we do every single day. We condemn these attacks on us. We condemn using these political hoaxes with, you know, people posing as minors engaged in sex work to discredit us. It's ridiculous, well, and it's sad.
Well, let's talk just briefly about what Planned Parenthood actually does. I mean, most of your work is in prevention and education.
90% of our services are prevention, so annual exams, cervical cancer screenings and treatment, breast cancer exams or breast cancer awareness, birth control education, sexuality education. It's like saying you want to burn down the kitchen because you don't like the wallpaper. 10% of what we do is abortion, which I'd like to remind people is still a legal medical procedure in the United States.
And in the few minutes that we have left, while all of this is going on in Virginia, there is some really scary legislation moving through Congress right now. Right. Can you give us an update on that on the national level?
Yeah. And I'd actually like to put the undercover videos, and I'm using my air quotes, in context with that legislation. We believe that it's a highly coordinated effort on Congress and Live Action's part. While these videos have been released, it kind of supports Congress's effort to strip us of funding to kind of push these extreme pieces of legislation through. It's given, you know, certain members of the General Assembly here, the Attorney General, more fodder in their belt as well. So they voted on H.R. 3. It was the third bill introduced in the new Congress, not a jobs bill, but a bill to strip any abortion provider of funding. And that was the one that had some controversy about the redefinition of the word rape surrounding it. It's passed the House now. And
with that wording of forced rape?
I think they amended the bill. Okay. That's my understanding, that there was so much public pressure that they amended the bill. But today, Representative Pence, who is a longtime foe of Planned Parenthood, has a bill that will be voted on probably in the next few minutes to defund Title X programs, which Title X, for folks who don't know, is family planning funding. It has nothing to do with abortion whatsoever. It is annual exams. It's prenatal care. It's maternal health programs. So, you know, again, they're trying to burn down the kitchen because they don't like the wallpaper. I think that's such a good acronym. And it's going to leave millions of people without access to a health care provider if they're successful in this effort.
If people would like to let their voices be heard, I know there are a couple of numbers that they can use to reach Congress. 202-224-3121. Regular listeners to Indie Media Live probably have that number memorized. Or there's also 202-730-9001. As I understand, when the House bills are single digit, that means that they are special favorites of the Speaker.
This is the third bill introduced by this new Speaker. And, you know, this Congress was elected on their jobs creation platform. So I think their ideology and kind of their motivations are coming to light now. They've done nothing but talk about abortion since January. So, they're voting on the Title X funding, like I said, in the next few minutes.
Well, I thank you so much for taking time out of just such a crazy busy day for you and coming on air to give us Planned Parenthood's point of view. Can you tell our listeners how to get in touch with Planned Parenthood if they're interested?
Absolutely. So here in Virginia, our statewide office is Planned Parenthood Advocates of Virginia, ppav.org. And for folks who don't have a computer or don't like to use a computer, Our phone number is 804-482-6132. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, any other social media site that exists. So get in touch with us and get involved.
And we'll have some of this information, some of these numbers and this contact information up on the blog after the show today, indiemedialive.blogspot.com. Courtney Jones, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And I wanted to remind everybody that it is 13 minutes before the hour, and you're listening to Indie Media Live on WRIR. And I'm going to turn now to Chelsea Harnish. Chelsea is here live in the studio with me. She is the Virginia Policy Coordinator for the Chesapeake Climate Action Network. She works with the Virginia team of Chesapeake Climate to establish legislative priorities and helps to develop the necessary expertise on all these issues. So we're really glad that you're here today, Chelsea. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Rebecca. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, and all of this dire legislative atmosphere that has been on Indie Media Live for the last 3 or 4 weeks, actually, you've come with some good news.
I have, and this is the first time we've had good news working in the General Assembly, so I'm really excited to be able to share it with you today.
Yeah, it's going to be great, so I hope all our listeners will kind of perk up a little bit now, because Chelsea's going to let us in on some really quite amazing turn of events at the General Assembly with regard to solar energy panels.
Yes, thank you. So SB 975 and House Bill 2191, the patrons of those two bills are Senator Whipple on the Senate side and Delegate Eben on the House side. They introduced legislation which would actually make it easy for Virginia residents to put solar panels on their roofs, which we need all the helping hands that we can get here in Virginia, so since there aren't really a lot of incentives. So we're really excited that this bill not only passed both chambers unanimously before crossover, they are now in the opposite chambers as we speak. Yesterday, the House bill passed the Senate committee and should be on the Senate floor later this week. And the House bill is going before Senate committee this afternoon and should be on the House floor sometime this week as well. So by the end of the week, both of these bills could be going to the governor to be signed into law, and we're thrilled.
Yeah. I would like just to take a second and help our listeners understand some of the legislative process with which you're so familiar. Sure. Could you kind of explain committees and crossover? And
sure.
Yeah. I mean, basically, we have a bicameral legislature, right? With a
right.
Senate and an assembly.
Right. Right. Yeah. I know. I just threw out a bunch of things at once for folks. What happens is that when a bill is introduced, it then goes into a committee, and the committee will vote on it whether they want it to move on to the floor of that particular chamber. So if it's a piece of legislation that's introduced in the House, it'll go to a House committee and then the House floor. If it's introduced in the Senate, then the same thing. It'll go to a Senate committee and then the Senate floor. And then what happens if it passes that chamber, it makes it through the floor vote. After crossover, which is when all of the House bills go to the Senate and all of the Senate goes to the House, then it repeats the process all over again. So if it was a Senate bill, after crossover, it then goes into a House committee and then onto the House floor, and then vice versa for the Senate bills.
So I guess that really helps our listeners understand that by the time a bill reaches the desk of the governor to be signed into law, it really has gone through quite a process.
It has, definitely. And both of our bills are companion bills, so they're identical in nature. They have, you know, the same language all the way through. And so far, they've passed unanimously. They've made it every single vote that they've had that they've gone under, that they've passed with flying colors.
This is so amazing.
It is.
This is Virginia.
I know. Yeah, we have to pinch ourselves sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I know you probably feel like a mother tiger shepherding this little bill through the legislature, because I know you've put in a lot of time and effort. What are some of the provisions of the bill?
So what the bill does is it actually creates a fund for homeowners. And the fund is voluntarily funded through contributions by anyone. Anyone who's interested can put money into this fund. It's run by the Department of Mines, Minerals, and Energy, which is a state government agency. And they are actually the ones that are right now, they are administering the program for the stimulus money. I'm sure some of your listeners have heard about the stimulus funds for energy efficiency rebates if you purchased a brand new refrigerator or dishwasher or dryer. They are currently administering that fund. So it makes sense that they would be administering this fund as well. So the fund... So like I said, the funding would come from anyone who would like to donate to it. And then anyone who is a homeowner in Virginia could apply for a low-interest loan through this program to put the solar panels on their roof. So it's just for solar panels, and it is a low-interest loan, but it really helps. It's a boost right in the beginning to put the solar panels up. And with the federal tax credit, there's a 30% federal tax credit right now that solar panels can be anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000.
That is amazing. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, that's a lot.
Yes, and that's after the tax credit.
So if I understand you correctly, Chelsea Harnish from Chesapeake Climate Action Network, there's no taxpayer money going into this.
No, not at all. This is completely voluntarily funded through donations.
Now, when will these funds be available? Because I'm sure a lot of our listeners are ready, you know, to sign the paperwork right now.
Right. The Department of Mines, Minerals, and Energy has until July of this year to initiate the program. And so we're hoping that by July of next year, they'll be ready to offer low-interest loans to homeowners.
Boy, that's quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a lot. So what is the role of Dominion Virginia Power or Rappahannock, some of the existing utilities now? What's their role in this program, and how do they feel about it? What your sense of how they might
the
feel
utilities that? Are completely on board. Dominion actually helped us craft some of the sections of the language of the bills, so they're very on board. And really, all they have to do is they've agreed to promote the program. So they will let their customers know through their newsletters, through the Cooperative Living magazine that the electric cooperative customers receive. So they're just willing to promote it and let people know this great program is available.
And how does Virginia rank as far as, you know, investment in clean energy, green energy, conservation, energy efficiency? How do we rank, Chelsea?
Well,
out of the 50.
Different things for, you mentioned several different sectors.
Yeah.
You know, for energy efficiency, we're not that great. We're pretty low. But, and for same thing for renewables, but we're getting there. And I think that this bill or these bills will help pave the way. Virginia has some of the best solar in the entire Mid-Atlantic, but Pennsylvania and Maryland right now are actually outpacing us. And they have less solar potential than we do. So we think that this bill will actually really help jumpstart the economy here in Virginia. Just one really quick number is that if 2% of all electric customers in Virginia were to donate a dollar, this fund would make $730,000 in its first year.
Oh, wow. So if our listeners wanted to find out more about this or wanted to be supportive of this legislation, where would they weigh in?
That's a great question. So the program will go through Department of Mines, Minerals, and Energy. So by July, they should have a website up and running. But until that time, folks can check our website, which is www.chesapeakeclimate.org. And we will stay right on top of this and let everyone know exactly how they can donate once the program is created and implemented.
I hope you'll come back to Indy Media Live and give us an update on this.
I'd love to.
Yeah, this is really exciting stuff. Is there any opportunity between now and Thursday for listeners to let their legislators know how they feel about this issue?
Absolutely. If anyone feels interested in calling their offices, please feel free to do so.
You can Google Virginia General Assembly, and the page will come up that will let you find out who your legislator is and who and what their contact information is if you're interested in Senate Bill 795. 975, and was it
2191?
2191, House Bill 2191. Chelsea, we only have like seconds left, but I know in your former life, before you came to Richmond and CCAN, you were advocating for Cape Wind. Mm-hmm. Could you just briefly tell our listeners what Cape Wind is?
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
so
that's exciting.
That's the first proposed offshore wind farm in the U.S., and it's off Cape Cod in Massachusetts. I lived there for 6 years and worked on that issue for 3.5. It's something very close to my heart, and Chesapeake Climate Action Network is working on offshore wind here in Virginia. I'm really excited to be working on that. Once the General Assembly session ends, I will be getting back into promoting wind and hoping that Virginia becomes a real leader in the clean energy sector.
And just one final question. Do you think that our legislators react to hearing from constituents on issues like this?
Absolutely. We've seen it firsthand that this really does matter. So we hope that everyone will take action.
Well, thank you so much for being here, and thank you for all your work, and thank you for your promise to come back and keep us up on this bill.
Thanks. Will do.
Thank you, Chelsea Harnish, Chesapeake Climate Action Network. In the last minute that we have, I'd just like to remind everybody that the United Nations International Panel of Sustainable Resource Management has called for a, quote, substantial worldwide diet change away from animal products. A UN panel analysis indicates that meat and dairy production accounts for, okay, hold on to your seats, I'm not misreading this, 70% of our global water supply and more than one-third of our land use. And as we move toward, 2050, that big number of 2050, it's important for all of us to realize that every time we focus on a plant-based diet, we're helping ourselves, we're helping the planet, we're helping the animals, and we are eating sunshine. So let's bring more sunshine into our lives. I thank you so much for tuning in today. On behalf of Tim, our engineer and blogmaster, indymedialive.blogspot.com, and all the other wonderful volunteers at WRIR, we appreciate your listening. And remember, you can go to our blog and let us hear from you. And I also want to remind everybody that Whole Foods out at Short Pump recycles number 5 plastic. That is so cool. I went over there before I came to the station today and recycled all those dead toothbrushes. It felt so good to get rid of that number 5 plastic. So just as you are going into the exit right there, Whole Foods has a number 5 plastic recycling. So until next week, be kind to yourselves, be kind to the animals, be kind to the planet, but don't be silent, because silence is the voice of complicity. And remember, help those animals stay warm at night. We wish you and the whole world peace.